wisden.com Test Cricket with Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon at the end of day two at Dubai International Cricket Stadium. For Specsavers, the Test Experts and Proatar, the new coaching app that connects you with the biggest names in cricket. Jeff, it was much the same on day two as it was on day one, in as far as Australia were driven into the dirt for a couple of sessions before keeping their composure, bouncing back in the final session, and having something to go to stumps with that they feel they can build on tomorrow.
Maybe Australia should just do what Sri Lanka did in the West Indies and just refuse to come out for the first two sessions of the day. Come out for the third. Everything seemed to go quite well around the tea break. Today it was just before the tea break when the tide started to turn. But yeah, both days we've seen a massive partnership. The first day, 205, that opening partnership. The second day, 150 between Asad Shafiq and Haris Sahail.
It was tough going watching that first session. 19 runs in the first hour, and it wasn't many more by the time we reached the lunch break when the two established batsmen, Sohail, who went on to make his first 100 in Test cricket, and Asad Shafiq, who made a fine 80, just neutered the Australian plan of boring them out. Because I think conditional upon, in order for that to work, someone needs to lose their head. And neither of them looked like losing their head at any stage in that first session. And that continued deep into the second session as well.
Well, exactly. And it was still a contest. I don't really understand it when I saw a few people complaining about, oh, this is slow and boring and blah, blah, Test cricket's not doing itself justice or whatever it is. If you only get 19 runs in an hour, you appreciate every one of those 19 runs. You remember them individually. You have nicknames for them. You know, it brings you a closer relationship with the game. But it was a contest because the Australians were trying a tactic and the Pakistanis were absorbing it. And that batting pair absorbed it for a good hour or so. Then they started to get on top and go after the spinners. Suddenly they'd scored 40 in 10 overs and the game was rattling along. And then after lunch, the new ball gets taken. The Australian bowlers start to look more dangerous. Nathan Lyon starts getting bounced and scared. Mitchell Stark's bowling quick. And the Pakistani pair resist that as well. They get through that period and then prosper again. It was a real sort of ebb and flow. And in terms of the contest, it was enthralling.
Yeah, at least initially, it felt like it almost suited both sides. On the call, we were talking about how Pakistan have done this quite a bit in Dubai. They've let the test run as deep as possible, batted slow, batted long. And for Australia's part, we've heard Tim Payne say repeatedly it was about being as patient as possible and waiting until the game speeds up at the death. And they're still vaguely in that position. The fact that they've reached stumps 30 for no loss, granted, they're more than 450 runs behind, 452 to be precise, after Pakistan were bowled out for 482 with about 45 minutes to go on day two. But it isn't as though we feel as though Australia are necessarily gone, as you might do if you just looked at the scorecard in isolation.
Well, exactly so. And you've seen Australian teams in Asia get rattled through for 150 or 200 plenty of times before, and that could happen on day three, and in which case it'll suddenly be a very lopsided test. But they've got good batting conditions out there. They're facing a tougher task in terms of spinners because Pakistan have Yasir Shah, who just bowls like a god here, despite not very helpful conditions, really. But if they're able to bat through a day, if they're able to put a good score together and bat long, as they emphasised in the warm-ups and all the rest of it, and bat into the fourth day, they could be looking at parity, and they could, well, at least in the first instance, be looking at trying to draw the test and make sure that having been dominated in the first 2 days didn't cost them the test, and they'd still be a chance in the series going into the second. Or you never know how things turn out. As you said, they move fast at the end of these games. You can be in a position to win suddenly on day five where a draw looked inevitable.
The good news story of today was Haris Sahail. He batted stoically towards stumps last night as wickets fell around him. He did likewise this morning, as we mentioned in that first hour. He flourished after that. His first test ton. Unfortunately, we weren't able to talk to him on wisden.com after play because he doesn't speak English. He speaks Urdu, and English is by far not his first language, as he said himself. But we did get a chance, or Jeff, you did have a chance to speak to Asad Shafiq, who made 80, and what a lovely innings it was. Here's the conversation that Jeff Lemon had with Asad Shafiq at stumps.
Asad Shafiq, welcome to wisden.com. You made 80 today. Last time you played Australia here, you made 89. And in between in Brisbane, that century that you made there, you must enjoy playing against Australia.
Yes, we know that they are a very tough opponent, and I always enjoy hard cricket, and I always wanted to perform against Australia because they have a very strong side, and the tradition of the Australia cricket is very rich. So performance against Australia is it's a dream to every player.
You faced a lot of Mitchell Stark in Brisbane, and then also here. What was the difference in facing him in those two different places?
Well, the difference was a wicket. In Brisbane, the ball, the fast bowler, wicket helps the fast bowler. Here, wicket helps spin bowling. It's a bit slow. It's difficult for fast bowler to bowl on this wicket. So it's a difference of pace about here and Brisbane.
You and Haris Sohail put on a partnership of 150, very patient. You were willing to wait and score slowly if you needed to. Was that your strategy?
Yes, that was because when I came to bat, the ball was not coming to the bat because it was like 80 overs old, 80 or 90 overs, 70 overs old. And fast bowler's ball is not coming to the bat. So our strategy was to attack spin. And on fast bowling, we have to be patient.
You're obviously very disappointed to be out for 80 to the leg spinner, but then you got to see your partner make a century as well, his first test century, which must have made you feel better.
It's incredible inning. He played some outstanding shots, and credit goes to him. His hard work has paid off, and it was a wonderful to watch.
And what did you make of the Australian batting at the end of the day in terms of what that might bring for tomorrow?
Well, our plan was to take one or two wickets, but both the openers played really well to see of the day. But our strength is spin bowling, and they will come tomorrow and try to take early wickets as possible.
Because of the night watchman, you batted at number six again, and so you've nearly broken Steve Waugh's record. He has the most runs at number six. You need 200 more runs at number six, and then you have the most runs ever at number six. So can you move back down the order to six and make sure you break that record?
No, that was a team's strategy. When I came into the Pakistan cricket team first, I never batted at number six. Now team wants me to bat at five. So I'll bat at five. Unfortunately, I batted at six in this inning, but I will bat at five in next one.
Okay, I just want to see you break that record. So just a few more innings at six, if you can. Come on.
I cannot ask team management about that. You can ask him.
Okay, I'll send them an email. Asad Shafiq, beautifully played today. Thank you so much for speaking to Wisdom.com.
For the Australians' part, another quirky one. In a test match where we've seen a few unconventional things occur, the fact that Marnus Labuschagne has taken a wicket and executed a run out in test cricket before making a run, despite being picked the top six batsman, I don't think that would have happened many times. And the fact that Aaron Finch did likewise. He executed a run out before he made a run in test cricket. That's one for the statisticians, whether that's happened with two players in the same
game. In indoor cricket, where does that leave their scores?
That's right. They're well ahead, put it this way. But let's deal with
Labuschagne.
I'm going to keep stumbling over it all test matches. My prerogative. Labuschagne came on and bowled with real zest. That top spinner of his that picked up Sahail, admittedly, he had well over 100 at the time, but gee, they celebrated that like they'd won an Olympic gold medal. It was a lovely moment.
He certainly did. He leapt into Tim Payne's arms. It was beautiful, like they were running towards each other across a meadow after he's just come back from the war. The Boer War, maybe, I suppose, the South African heritage.
Right. He was actually asked after play what it was like representing the country, representing Australia, not the country he was born in. And he responded in the most, quintessentially droll Australian accent. Nah, I love it. Love representing Australia. He's definitely picked up our accent. There's no question about where his loyalties lie.
Well, I tell you what, the only thing I'm disappointed about is that when he was sending down his leg breaks and Tim Payne was gloving them behind the stumps, at no point did the Australian captain, in a position of leadership, say, "Bowling, Labuschagne."
Who knows, Jeff? Maybe you're going to start a thing. Maybe it will be bowling Labuschagne before too long. You also spoke to the man who took his first test wicket today at stumps.
Marnus Labuschagne, welcome to Wisdom.com. What a day you've had. You didn't necessarily think you'd be taking wickets before you got a chance to bat in test cricket.
Yeah, definitely. But obviously it was very exciting for us today. We've played really well. We hung in there and, great to... We got two run-outs and... So just those small things on longer days is key for us to sort of keep moving forward.
Very modestly, one of those run-outs was yours and a terrific bit of fielding as well. You were just bouncing around the field with your bowling and taking that ball and getting it back to Tim Payne in time to break the stumps.
Yeah, look, my role out there is just to make sure we're all up and, keep the buzz up on long days like that. It can be tough, the bowls are running in hard and the spinners are bowling really well, so... It's just about trying to keep the boys up and make sure when we get that little half chance, we can take it. And, Aaron Finch, showed that today, that little half chance probably changed, probably 30, 40 runs potentially saved there. So that was great from him.
In terms of keeping the energy up, you didn't even go off for the tea break. You took a wicket and then you're back out there bowling through the tea break. You're an absolute lunatic. It's 40 degrees.
No, well, to be honest with you, the reason I was bowling is because I got warned for running on the wicket. So I was the guy, I got the David Saker to stand there and to watch where my foot was landing, because I had a few sort of pre-warnings before that, and then
casual warnings.
Yeah, casual warnings, and then I got an official warning, and I was like, well, I better deal with, like, I can't. So you might have seen, but I did start running coming from wider of the crease just to try and negate that at the time. So that's why I was out there bowling.
It looked like you were landing and then wanting to be in position to field the ball, to be that extra fielder, and that's why your foot was going in the danger area.
Yeah, spot on. Because my run-up's quite quick, at times when I need to kind of stop myself to get ready for the catch, because at times the ball, I think there was a catcher that went past him before I could even set for the catch, the ball was past me. So yeah, that was definitely something we need to make sure we get right, so I get out of that danger zone.
So a very long, hot day in the field. What was the talk among the batsmen about how to approach that last little difficult bit that Usman and Aaron Finch were able to bat through so well?
Oh, mate, those two are class players in their own right, so they definitely knew how to deal with that situation, and I think they showed that out there. It's just about, you know, being calm out there and just making sure we get through that tricky number, but, you know, they look like they did it with ease.
And you'll get your shot tomorrow or maybe the next day, depending how they go, but it looks like a pretty decent surface to have your first bat in Test cricket on.
Yeah, look, the wicket's in pretty good shape. It's not deteriorating too much. So if we can put a really good batting form together and see what happens.
Very exciting for you. You brought a lot of energy to the game today. Great to watch, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So Australia did have the tricky little session, as they say, before stumps to get through. The new opening partnership of Usman Khawaja and Aaron Finch, they got there. Aaron Finch nearly didn't get there. He looked very good, with the exception of one shot just before the close that nearly brought his downfall.
Two shots,
yes. But one in particular, when he tried to take on Yasir Shah, I think it was in the second or third last over before stumps, tried to go right back over his head, nearly landed in the hands of mid-off. Thankfully for him, he's still there overnight. Usman Khawaja, though, Jeff, he looked really good. And we talked about it on the call. It was as much as anything about getting outside the line of the ball. He was exposing his stumps, and that seemed to be how he was accessing the ball, getting his pads out the way. Maybe that's the solution after having so much trouble in the subcontinent over the years.
Yeah, it was an interesting one in terms of technically how he was looking to handle that ball, stepping outside the line of leg and then sort of reaching across, not markedly, not way outside the line of his body, but just a little bit, as if to give himself some more space. And, you know, if there were a turn on the ball, it would beat the stumps, but like he was just watching it off the pitch almost more than out of the hand to try to stab it away. So it would be interesting to speak to him at some point about his approach and what he's trying to do there technically, but it looked curious.
Maybe he'll walk off tomorrow with a century and you'll talk to him after play on wisdom.com Test Match Cricket. That has been day two. Can Australia tomorrow find a way to really get themselves back into this Test match when the batting conditions are still supreme? We will see. Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon for Specsavers, the Test experts, and Proatar, the new coaching app that connects you with the biggest names in cricket. We'll talk to you tomorrow.